That doesn't get your fire going, your wood's all wet. I say those things just to get Carol going because she's... William Richard Affless was born in 1929. He was a rather large man, 6'1" tall, 261 pounds, big barrel-chested man. He died 20 years ago in November at the young age of 62. Several of you are going, yeah, that is young. He was a football player. Was not well known as a football player, but what he was well known as for was being a professional wrestler. You may have known him as Dick the Bruiser. He had a tag team partner called the Crusher. He started the World Wrestling Association, and every Thursday night that was on TV for several years in the Detroit area, starting in about 1957 or 1958. His opponents were always a young and upcoming and unknown person whom the Bruiser would just pulverize, less his name, the Bruiser. I can still hear him today burying his mouth in a microphone and yelling, "Ain't no man alive that I can beat." You know how those guys would always put on quite a show. In the early 1960s, when I was in junior high, 8th grade social studies, Mr. Affless was our teacher. At least that was his name. He was a big barrel-chested man. He was over 6 foot tall. He was huge. The first day we walked into class and saw Mr. Affless, one of the guys kind of whispered, "Ooh, he looks like Dick the Bruiser. He looks like he could be related to him. Has the same last name." Evidently, Mr. Affless overheard us whispering in class, and he turned around and he said, "Yes, I am the Bruiser's older brother, and don't mess with me." Well, over the course of the next few weeks, we heard a story that he was in wrestling first, but his brother had become better than him, and so he dropped out to allow his brother to shine. We believed that story, kind of. He just kept telling it to us over and over again, and the more he told it, the more believable it sounded. The first parent-teacher conferences came along, and of course we had all run home and told our parents about this guy who was our social studies teacher, who was the brother to Dick the Bruiser, and what an awesome guy he was, and he's huge. Well, the first parent-teacher conferences, my mother went to him and said, "Mr. Affless, is it true that you're Dick the Bruiser's brother?" He had a good laugh and said, "No, but it was just a good story to tell your kids when they started asking about it." It was a good story. And no, we didn't mess with Mr. Affless. In fact, we kind of liked the guy. Somebody who's a forerunner, somebody who comes before an older brother who announces something. I look at the stories of Jesus in the Bible. I look at the stories of his birth. In those stories, they're all sweet little stories. We talk about the angels coming and announcing to the shepherds about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's a great story, and it happened. It was true. I believe that. But it's just a little nice story about Christmas that we tell our kids and we reenact year after year. We talk about the shepherds and the wise men going to the manger and seeing Jesus Christ and taking gifts to Jesus Christ and announcing his birth. And it's all fine and good and great. And it happened. And we need to remember it happened. And we need to talk about the fact that it happened. But in the book of Mark, we're given a little different story about Jesus Christ and his announcement to the world. For here we're given a weather-beaten prophet wearing camel hair clothes. John the Baptist comes in and prepares the way and tells the story of Jesus coming into daily life. Read with me, beginning with Mark chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I look at John and I say, he's calling us to have an open mind to this new thing that's happening. I happened to catch a news clip here a couple of weeks ago, and it was talking about a recent trip that our president made to Australia. And after the trip, somebody was cleaning up in the area, and they found laying in the gutter somewhere a notebook, and they picked it up, and it was the entire security manual for the president's trip to Australia. It had every little detail in it, right down to what sidewalk he was going to walk on at what time and which door he was going to open to get into the limo and who was going to open that door and who was going to close that door. Every little awesome detail was right there. I got to thinking about that and doing some research and discovered that every time some big dignitary travels, all these preparations are made way ahead of time. People go to that area first off and check it for security. They do everything they have to do to make sure everything is as safe as could be. They get an ambulance lined up. They make sure hospitals in the area are aware that the president's going to be there. They make sure all the local police departments are ready to go. All these huge preparations are made for maybe a 10-minute stay in a particular area. And what amazed me was even down to which car door he was going to use. Preparations. It seems like so many times when something is going to be changing, we take the attitude, I'm not going to believe it, I'm not going to accept it, this is the way it is, nothing's going to change, I'm not going to accept this new thing. And I just wonder if maybe God is somewhere in his thought process had this thought that Jesus Christ way has to be prepared. Think about this. Preparing the way of the Lord. There's one who is coming that is going to change everything. Get that thought going in your mind. Start accepting it. Have an open mind to it. John's voice was the one in the wilderness calling us out of our busy, hectic lives and asking us to be ready for the appearance of God. To prepare to receive the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and all the other attributes that we get to him. I tell you today, I don't see life much different than it was back then. Hectic, chaotic, all kinds of crazy things going on. And I think we have to get ourselves in a mindset all over again to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells it very simply. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I've been doing some reading lately, and it talks about how in the church we sing love songs to Jesus and how sappy they sound. And yet a young man will fall in love with a young lady, and he gets all sappy and takes her flowers and tells her he loves her. And she tells him back that she loves him. And just that whole love thing that makes the world go round. We get all sappy with our grandkids and tell them how much we love them. And they tell us how much they love them. But somehow when it comes to Jesus and we talk about loving Jesus, we just don't seem to have an open mind about that. It just seems to kind of rub wrong with some people. But yet we got to stop and think about this thing with an open mind. God loved us so much that he gave his only Son. That's the message of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Christmas, that when we believe on Him and we believe what He did, we are forgiven for our sins and our lives are changed forevermore. If that doesn't get you going, your wood's all wet. Jesus Christ loved us. We are called to an open mind to accept that all over again, day after day after day. I believe this morning that John is calling us to a life of purity. Verse 4, John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The last part of verse 5, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. I look at the writing here. Repentance, 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 repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And I keep thinking in my mind this thought over the last few years, it's one thing to go and ask for forgiveness. I can ask for forgiveness and still go out and do the same stupid thing over and over again and have to keep going back and asking forgiveness for it over and over again. But repentance is different. Repentance says, I'm turning away from this thing and I'm going a different direction. I'm not going back anymore. I'm totally sorry for what I've done and I'm changing my life completely around. So I look at this whole thing of repentance and purity, and it says, I will have nothing else to do with the evil ways of the world, with the corruption of the world. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to repent. But then I look at this being baptized in the Jordan River, and the significance is there is it's an outward sign of what God has done on the inside of me. I've been washed clean, and I want the whole world to know it. And so I came up with this thought that might be kind of crazy, but here's what I came up with. Repentance is the soap. The soap washes me clean. The soap loosens up the dirt, but the water washes it away. Repentance loosens up the dirt of the heathen life that I was living, but the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness for sins washes it away. 1 Peter 1:16, I hear an echo of Old Testament words in a number of places. Be holy, for I am holy. God talking there. Here's John with this radical message about forgiveness of sins. Rather than from a sacrifice through a man, it's a sacrifice sent by God. And John is calling us to have an open mind to accept this man and his ways and his actions that stem from love. Love gets expressed in the way we live. I don't bring shame to my family name because I love my family. I care for those in my family because I love them. I care for my friends because I love them. I live the way God wants me to live because I love Him, because He first loved me. There was some Roman Catholic priest from the 1600s. His name was Francis de Sales. He said, we cannot help conforming ourselves to what we love. If I really get a hold of the fact that God loved me, if I really get a hold of the fact that His Son came to die for my sins, then it should have a big impact on me, and I want to conform to His ways. Here's a familiar verse for you, Matthew 22:37. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I'm called into this radical love relationship with God that overflows to those around me. So I stop and look at all that, and I say, in the daily world where the rubber meets the pavement, how do I do that? I'm going to a banquet tomorrow night. Marcy's going with me. Scott and Shelley are going. Merrick's going. Beth is going. It's the district minister's Christmas party. It's not going to be a buffet, I don't think. I think they're going to serve us individual plates, but I'll tell you, the plates will be full. The salad plate will be full. The dinner plate will be full. The dessert plate will be full. And we'll eat. Every once in a while, we go to Old Country Buffet or one of those places for dinner. You know what we do? We fill our plates up. You know what we do again? We go back and fill our plates up. You know what some people do? They go back and fill their plates up again. You know what some people do when they go to those places? I've seen it. They fill their pockets. They fill their purses. Hey, go and watch. It happens. They're keeping their plates full so they can keep their stomachs full. You know what I think John's calling us this morning to do? To keep our plates full. He says, I will baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He says, I showed cleanliness and forgiveness of life, but he will give you the power for the daily life over and over and over and over again. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, says to us, His divine power has given me what I need for a daily godly life, so that I may participate in the divine nature, and listen to this, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I like that. Yeah, I sometimes think we need to go through life with blinders on so we don't see all the garbage of the world. But then I look and see I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. I've given the power to live every day so that I can participate in the love of God and I can escape, be free of the rottenness of this world. That verse goes on to say, add to our faith goodness, and to our goodness knowledge, and to our knowledge self-control, and to our self-control perseverance, and to our perseverance godliness, and to our godliness mutual affection, and to our mutual affection love. God's love. I participate in God's love by embracing the Christian lifestyle and all that I do. I participate in God's love by expressions of that love to those around me. I participate in God's love by allowing Him to renew me, not just with forgiveness of sins, but with baptism of the Holy Spirit, by changing me and transforming me to be more like Him on a daily basis. Heart purity. Full of love, filled to the brim with God's cleansing power. Father, John announced it, the angels announced it, the prophets announced it. We need to embrace it in our own personal lives. It's busy. We're all swamped. Our minds at days feel like mush, but Father, let us just really think about you and your love that reached down to us and cared so much about us that it totally turned our lives around. Father, give us what we need to live that holy life for you. Amen.